Well, we're celebrating. I don't know why you're here, but I do know why you're here. We're here because Jesus has defeated the power of death. It says in Scripture, death could not hold Jesus. And we're here to celebrate that and to hear and be reminded of that in our lives. Lives that often encounter that, right? Very organized. It's beautiful. I've done funerals in places just like that. There's a story behind each tombstone. And that story often is accompanied by tears, with a sense of sacrifice, and with a sense also that I'll never see him in this world again. There's also cemeteries that you wonder if anyone ever goes there again. There's one in Travis County has a cemetery. I went there one day with someone because they couldn't afford a place to bury their loved one. Tell you what, folks, it was a mess. Litter, weeds, tipped over tombstones. I mean, it was so real. Whether it's structured and organized or whether it's chaotic, there is a sense in life at times where we say it's over. It's over. I mean, is that the last word that we share or that we hear? Well, we're here because, listen to this. Let's read this together. Blessed be the Lord God, Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. He, a living hope. Folks, you want to know some dead hopes? There are dead hopes. It's over. It's over. And we're here today to remember, oh boy, can we ever forget this in the midst of all this stuff going on. That we have been born again into what? A living hope, not a dead hope, not a dream shattered, not a life devastated. What we're going to do is to remember the truth that the Lord says, you know what? Death came in by one man. Now, at times we might have a hard time getting our head around that. But one person in Colorado who made a threat, all of a sudden 250,000 students are not going to school because one person, fire ants, they came in a tire on a shipment from South America into a port on the Gulf of Mexico, and all of a sudden everybody's fighting fire ants. Well, the one man, Adam, who said, you know what, Adam? Satan said, do what comes naturally, and Adam and Eve just said, we're going to do it our way. By a man came death, also by one man, not three, one man comes life, and we're celebrating that life today. Even in the midst of the fact that often there is a sense that life is over. Was reflecting on that, as no doubt others have. Reflecting on Sunday, this is Easter Sunday. But what was Friday like for Mary? What was Saturday like? Think about it. For Mary. Well, we know that Friday, the scripture says, she saw her son die. And that's different than surrounding people as heavy as it is in a hospice environment, okay? Which can be very loving and still the reality is there. She saw her son who had been tortured and in some ways no doubt disfigured from the beatings, executed. A complete sense of helplessness. And if you've been a parent, you know what it is to experience a sense there's nothing I can do. Complete helplessness. Oh, she could cry out, "Why are you doing this to my boy?" But at the same time, excruciating pain. Perhaps someone trying to calm her down, which didn't work. A sense of her world is shattered. A sense of any dreams that she had when she held this little baby for the first time in her arms. That there would be a future for him that would be glorious and magnificent. Life's over. I'll never smile again. You ever been there? I'll never smile again. Much less laugh. Much less laugh. Then she sees her son's body taken off the cross. Usually, when you crucified someone, you left them on the cross. The Romans, hey, look, they're garbage anyway. We're not going to expend any more effort. As a matter of fact, usually then, the buzzards would swoop in. They're not going to take time. Except this Joseph took Jesus' body off the cross. Mary may well have said, you know, it doesn't even look like him anymore. Isaiah says you couldn't behold him when he, Isaiah prophesies about Jesus, says he was disfigured. That was her Friday. And what about Saturday? Mary, you need to get some rest. Rest. The images, the visuals, the sights, the smell are looping in my head. What do you mean? Get some rest. We read in Mark chapter 16 that Pastor Danner read, when the Sabbath was over, all right, now, okay, Saturday's over, now it's Sunday, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices to Jesus. They were going to, in the Jewish custom, anoint the body. Where's Mary? Where is Mary? I guarantee you, from what we read in Scripture, she's not going to go and look at that body. It's worse than having that someone say, we need someone to identify the body. If you've ever been there, you know you don't ever want to go through those doors again. She's at home, no doubt, grieving, but it's almost like we want to say, Mary, Mary, yes, your life has been radically changed. She would tell you that. My life's radically changed. And we'd want to tell her, Mary, wait till Sunday. Wait till Sunday. Now, there's another person whose life was radically changed. I mean radically changed. Some of you may know what it is. Radically changed life. It was Peter. I mean, what was his life Friday? Well, a little bit late on the night before, he had said, Jesus, I will follow you even to the point of death. I will die for you. It's almost like, and it says, yeah, and the other apostles were agreeing. They were giving each other high fives, man. We're on a roll. Ain't nobody going to get and mess with our Jesus. We've seen what he can do. So I can kind of be bold. Hey, I'll even die for you. Well, it wasn't too long after that that he realizes that Jesus is now cuffed, doing a perp walk into the halls of power. And it's at that time that a young, probably a maybe a 13 or 14-year-old young girl comes up to him and says, you were with Jesus. And says, I don't even know the man. And then it says he cursed. He added expletives to assert that he is not connected with this man Jesus. That was his Friday. And then it says Jesus passed by early Friday morning, perhaps, or even maybe late Thursday night. And it says Jesus looked at him. Do you think Jesus sneered at him, that he was angry, that he was condemning him, that he was pointing his finger and said, "Peter, you liar"? If you know Jesus, and I pray that you know Jesus, you know that his look, no doubt Jesus, was a look of compassion, in a way a look of understanding, and in a way certainly a look of mercy and grace. And then Peter has to deal with the fact that that has been the worst day of his life. His life was radically changed. What about you? We'd almost want to say, "Peter, wait till Sunday." But most everyone has had, or you have had, on a scale, who knows? I mean, you can't, what, 0 to 10, the worst day of your life? Okay? You know, where's the 10? Now, the 10 intensity-wise, okay, you can't measure it over against someone else's 8 or 6, but you know it was your 10. Worst day. Could have been a tragedy, a personal tragedy. Again, something over which had zero control. Complete helplessness. Perhaps it was a time when, regardless of what your conscience was saying, is, "Hey, look, I want to do what I want to do." Only to kind of sober up, perhaps, not necessarily because of booze, but just, "Oh, what have I done? Life's over." We'd want to say, and what Jesus wants to say, is that I am about radically changing a life of a person. And that's what we celebrate today. That whether it's for Peter or for you, that Jesus wants his children to rejoice in him and his resurrected power. Where Jesus said these words to a woman who was grieving the death of her brother, and Jesus grieving the death of that same man who was his dear friend Lazarus. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, though she die, whether she's really young or really old or anywhere in between, shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Never die. Word spoken to the parent who grieves the death of a little one, with the promise that that little one, fully matured in all that Christ has wanted, and from the beginning for her, she's going to experience that in Jesus, in Christ, not in anyone else, in Christ. For the person who says, "I just might as well bury my future after what I did," the words of Jesus, that you believe in me, trust me, you'll never die. It will never die. Your worst day, the Lord comes into that, radically changes. With the message that I will never leave you or forsake you. Everyone else may. But I will see you through to the end. I'm the one who will wipe away the tears. And some perhaps thinking today, what is it going to be like to see that loved one in Jesus? And it's the promise we are. Jesus, it says, is the resurrection and the life. And that's what we celebrate today. And it disperses the darkness. It shines a light into our lives that cleanses us. It's kind of a cleansing light, a cleansing, invigorating light that takes from us the distortions of our own sin. It soothes a conscience that has been struggling with guilt and shame. And it says, Christ is present and His presence is a source of blessing and peace to you. How much does God love you? He did not spare His own Son, as Paul says, but gave Him up for us all. And if He did this, will He not also give us all good things? He will. I see a lot of little ones here. I see a lot of moms and dads holding little ones. That's how the Lord holds you. With arms of strength and compassion and commitment, in order that even on the darkest of our days, the light shines. And as was read in the Old Testament prophecy of Jesus, where He says, I'm going to do a new thing. Where the writer says, surely this is our God. Which God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the father of our Lord Jesus. Surely this is our God. We trusted in Him. To trust means, Lord, I put my life in Your hands. We trusted in Him. And what happened? And He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Trust the Lord Jesus. And now we're going to rejoice. Thank You for helping us rejoice. Not only here, but forever. We're going to rejoice in His salvation. Yes, indeed. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.